This morning's teaching title is The True and Good Shepherd and His Sheep. John chapter 10 focuses on the image of sheep, sheepfolds, and shepherds. This image Jesus used in chapter 10 of John may not click to 21st century American people because we don't know much about sheep herding or sheep raising. But to the people in that time, ancient Jewish people, they understand exactly. To understand what the Lord is speaking to them and to us, we have to keep their culture in our mind. Are you with me on that? So we have to kind of travel back in time machine and think like a Jewish people. Chapter 10 obviously follows chapter 9. And you're thinking, oh, you're such a captain obvious. Yes, I am. I'm proud of it too. At the same time, chapter 9 carries the same term, and chapter 10 carries the same term and circumstance that mentioned in chapter 9, such as he's talking to the same people in the chapter 9. The original script, Greek script, does not have the chapter division between chapter 9 and 10. We have that because somebody who is very kind put that chapter division there. Jesus continues speaking to the very same people as he spoke to the people in chapter 9. In the previous chapter, high and mighty Pharisees threw a man who was born blind. Now he has eyesight healed by Jesus. He threw that man out of a synagogue, which is pretty much a death sentence for his economic and social life. But Jesus found the man and told him that he is the Messiah. He revealed his true identity. Some Pharisees could not just settle with the spiritual blow they got from Jesus previously in chapter 9. They had to ask for more. Some people are glutton for punishment, right? Jesus spoke to the Pharisees about light and darkness, but now he's changing the image to that of the shepherd and the sheep. Why? Because in Jewish mind, shepherd represent often the king and the prophet, the political and spiritual leaders. And people looked on the king and the prophet, and the Israel was privileged to be called the flock of the Lord. And you find that in Psalm 100, Isaiah 56. You might want to jot this down. Psalm 100, Isaiah 56, Jeremiah 23 and 25, and Ezekiel 34, Zechariah 11. And some of you are thinking, why didn't you put that in the notes so I didn't have to write it? You guys are so spoiled. You know that? You know, other church congregations, they actually take a note. This morning, we are going to cover the first 10 verses of chapter 10. This portion is divided into two sections, from 1, verse 1 to 6, and then from 7 to 10. First section is in the town setting, and the second section is for the country setting. First section is shepherd gathering his flock. In the second section, we find the shepherd guarding his flock. We'll start at the verse 1 of chapter 10 and we will pray. Father, you are our good and true shepherd. We are your sheep. You lead us to the pasture where we can be gleaned, where we can learn, where we can be taught, and where we can grow in you. Teach us through your word. Anoint our heart that we may receive your principle and precept. We don't want to hear man's opinion, but yours. Father, speak to our heart directly. Anoint the one who speaks. Anoint our heart. Father, we pray for President Obama, even though he does not have many days left, and the President-elect Trump, they may have your wisdom and they may be obedient to you. Father, we pray for our troops, especially the one in the harm's way, away from their families, away from their home, away from their friends. Watch over them and keep them safe. Also, we pray for our law enforcement personnel and firefighters. 2016 was a deadly year for the law enforcement personnel. Father, we ask you to put the hedge of protection around them in this year and keep them safe. It is in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 1 in chapter 10 in the book of John, please. Most assuredly I say it to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climb up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. And to him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice. I want you to underline that, please. The sheep hear his voice. And he calls his own sheep by name. Note that word. He calls his sheep by name and lead them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them. The sheep follows him, for they know his voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. Jesus used this illustration, but they did not understand the things which he spoke to them. Stop there, please. This is a town sheepfold, which is located in the middle of the town or nearby. Several shepherds would bring their flocks into this community sheepfold, and they put them in and keep them there overnight. A shepherd would line up the sheep, single file, I guess, and one at a time it would go into the sheepfold. And each one had to pass this shepherd's rod. Before he goes in, the shepherd will check the fur of the sheep and make sure there's no parasite so that would not infect other sheep in the flock. It is very important to him to inspect each sheep. And once his inspection is done for each sheep, he would lift the rod so that one sheep can go through. And then he put the rod back and block the gate. He goes through one at a time. In the morning, it's time to take them out of the village and out to the countryside where they can be fed in the pasture. The doorkeeper recognized the shepherd, so he allowed that person to come, shepherd to come into the fold and take the sheep out. Here's the thing. Some would say this sheepfold represent heaven or church. I beg to differ. Because if this is heaven, it's a wrong interpretation. Let me put it this way. Go back to verse 1 of John chapter 10, please. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and robber. If this sheepfold represents heaven, then there's another way to get to heaven other than through Jesus Christ? You mean somebody can climb over the wall into heaven? That's the wrong interpretation. No one can go to heaven other than through one way, that is Jesus Christ. Are you with me on that? So that would be absolutely wrong interpretation. And there is no evil in heaven, and no man can make one's way to heaven whatsoever. Besides, God will not lose anyone, and God will not allow anyone to lead his people out of heaven or out of church. God will protect his own people. So what is it, preacher, you may ask? I'm glad you asked. The sheepfold represented Judaism. Judaism, which has kept God's people safe until the Messiah could come. In case You may wonder where I got that, and you're thinking, oh, you got that thing out of thin air. No, verse 16. Go down to verse 16 of John chapter 10, please. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold. Them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice, and they will be one flock and one shepherd. All right. So, did you notice the two words, other sheep? Would that be? Must be alien, with a green, gigantic head, with a tiny body. Right? No. Gentiles. This means the Gentile church will be born in Jerusalem and spread out all over the Gentile world. So, who is the shepherd? Through the many references from the Old Testament, we can easily tell this shepherd is Jesus Christ, our Lord. He is the good and true shepherd for his sheep. There are three things Jesus does as a shepherd. Point number one, he comes to his sheep the right way. There's a right way and there's a wrong way. The thieves use the wrong way. While thief and robber climbs up some other way, the shepherd enters through the door. These legalistic Pharisees were the sheep thieves and robbers to steal and kill and destroy for their own selfish gain. But Jesus would not. Did you get that? All right, keep your finger in John. Go to Ezekiel, right before Daniel in the Old Testament. Chapter 34, please. Ezekiel 34. If you don't know where it is, recite from the Genesis. You can get there. Ezekiel 34, verse 2. Son of man, prophesy against the shepherd of Israel. Prophesy and say to them. When prophet Ezekiel said the shepherd of Israel is not real occupational shepherd, they are political and spiritual shepherd. Thus says the Lord God of his two shepherds, woe to the shepherds of Israel who feed themselves, should not the shepherds feed the flocks? We still have a spiritual thieves and robbers today in 21st century. Many of them are on Christian TV programs or the radio programs. And they give out ear-pleasing doctrines, false doctrines, heresies for their monetary gain. Jesus came after over 300 messianic prophecies. Are you with me on that? There are 300 messianic prophecies in the Old Testament. Where he could be born, where he would be born, and what he would do for Israel and mankind while he is walking on earth. Apostle Paul echoes this in one of his epistles, Book of Galatians, chapter 4, please. Chapter 4, verse 4. But when the fullness of the time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive adoption as sons. He fulfilled this with his atoning sacrifice. Second point, what Jesus did as a shepherd. He calls his sheep right way. He calls his sheep right way in verse 3 of chapter 10. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice. I actually note that sentence. And he calls his own sheep by name and lead them out. Remember that the township fold is a community sheep fold. That means several flocks will be conglomerated into the one area. Now, sheep, they're kind of like Asian. They all look alike. It's okay. It's me and the son are the only two. And you cannot tell the difference unless you dye the wool coat with a different color. So, or the brand on the fur, and they don't want to do that. Only way they can recognize, the sheep can recognize Each shepherd has a certain pitch when they call. They have a different calling for each sheep, and he trains them. Each shepherd with a voice and unique pitch, and they calls his flock, and the sheep knows the shepherd's voice. Can you recognize your shepherd, Jesus Christ's voice? The more you study this word of God, the more familiar his voice is going to be for you. Folks, this Bible is his voice. It's not supposed to just sit on your coffee table. It's not just tossed in the back of your car until next Sunday. You're supposed to read this thing every day. Now you have assignment, right? Right? And some people say, I'm not going to promise. I just loved what this verse 3 says. He called his own sheep by name, lead them out. Did you get that? Our Lord, our Maker, Lord Jesus Christ, knows our name individually. Not only that, he also knows the thought we have before we even come up with that thought. And he still loves us. He knows your thought and he still loves us. It's scary, isn't it? Aren't you glad he doesn't project on the wall? All the people love to be called by their own name because it is their own identity, even if they're same name. How many Bobs do we have here? How many Debbies do we have here? A lot. And there is an association for the John Smith. Do you know that? Jim Smith and John Smith. National Association. I don't know what they do. Hey, call each other John, Jim. But the majority of people, I'm going to pick on you, but the majority of people come up with an excuse. I'm not very good at remembering names. Have you heard that? Maybe you used one. Let me ask you this question. If someone come to you and tell you, I'm going to give you $2 million cash a year from now, would you remember that person's name? Would you remember that person's name? You will even remember that person's dog's name. Why? Because it is important to you. Why don't we remember other people's name? Because it's not important to us. Until we realize that it is important to you. Okay. At the beginning of my pastoral ministry, which started in 1992 as a lay pastor at the prison. Yes, I've been in prison. Not as an inmate. I did prison ministry for a long time. At the beginning, the Lord spoke to my heart. The society wants to forget about these people and don't want to remember them. So I want you to remember their name as I do. That stuck with me. This is not a bragging session, but I remember everybody in our congregation's name. If they came more than twice, if they wrote down their name and gave it to me, I remember them. And you may say, I really doubt that. I'm going to give you a test after the service. Ask other people. I do. And some people will say, I bet you don't remember because I never give you the information card. You're lost, not mine. If you choose not to be known by your pastor, you're lost. It's not a bragging session. It's something God told me to do. I'm doing it. Let me put it this way. If you got to know somebody in the church, and why is not important to you to know that person, go out of your way, make yourself known to that person, and get to know that person. Are you with me on that? So then how do you do that? This is a suggestion I have for you. This is my way to cheat. Get a little notepad, spiral pad. Write it down that person's name and what you remember about that person. Okay, he's tall with the glasses and a bald head. You might confuse it with a few people in here. Write it down, description. Next time, you'll remember. Third time, it'll be easier. Make an effort to get to know each other. That's how loving one another starts. You follow me? No one, John Donne, the poet, British poet, I believe, John Donne said, no man is an island. You cannot live by yourself. And you cannot expect other people to love you when you don't make an effort to know others. Jesus didn't wait for us to love him. He loved us while we are still sinners. Third point, he leads his sheep the right way. We're in verse 4. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before men, and the sheep follow him. And for they know his voice. Are you familiar with the ranch living in America? And you know how to herd cattle you have? You drive cattle with a whistle and shout on your horse. My extension of herding cattle stepped at watching Rawhide on TV when I was a kid. Yeah, Bonanza. Exactly. But Israel's style of the shepherd is leading. Israel's style is leading by the shepherd. He goes out first and the sheep follows. The shepherd makes sure that it is the right path. And he leads them to the place of green pasture and quiet water. Even though they may go through the valley of shadow of death, even though we may go through the valley of shadow of death, we will not fear because he is with us. The true and good shepherd is with us. That's Jesus' style. He doesn't drive us. He leads us as a leader. Some of you may have a reservation to follow Jesus without knowing what is ahead. You cannot see the future, but he can. It's like you driving your Yugo car, a little tiny car that sits practically on the ground, and there's an 18-wheeler coming by. He can see so much more than you can because he's above. That's where Jesus is. He can see the future. So why don't you trust all-knowing God for your unknown future? If Jesus is indeed your shepherd in leading your life, then trust him. And if Jesus is leading you out of something, note that it is because he wants to lead you into something else. Some of us don't want to be led by God because we don't know what's happening. We often dig our heel into wherever we're standing, and somehow we think that we can actually persuade God in our ways. There's a Greek word, two Greek words, fat chance. You're not going to persuade God. Either you follow God, you become disobedient to him. Maybe Jesus is leading some of you out of bad and sinful relationship. It is because he's leading you into his right way. Maybe he's leading you out of a false doctrine because he's leading you into his right way. Maybe he's leading you out of the bad business partnership and practice because it is because he's leading you into the right way. Trust the direction and the lead of your shepherd. In verse 6, we find this Pharisee still didn't get it because they chose to be spiritually blind because they are pride and carnal desires. Listen, this is very important. Jesus' truth is revealed to those one who seek it. But it is completely concealed to those if they choose to not to seek it. It is revealed to the one who is looking for the truth. But it is concealed to the skeptics. Go to verse 7, please. Then Jesus said to them again, "Most assuredly I say to you, I am the door of sheep. All who ever came before me are thieves and robbers. And the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out, find pasture. The thief does not come except to steal and kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. Some of you might be confused by now. You're thinking, did Jesus change his metaphor from shepherd to door? No, not really. It's the same metaphor, just different approach. In verse 1 through 6, and from verse 1 through 6, it is happening in town setting. But from remember what I told you? It's divided in two sections. One is a town setting, the other one is a country setting. Now we are in the country setting. After the winter is over, shepherds have to take his sheep out to the countryside because all sheep ate pretty much all the grass around the countryside. So he had to take them out further out, and he cannot really go back to the town each time he's done with feeding the sheep. Physically impossible. So what does he do? He set up the sheepfold on the countryside. It's normally made out of the mud and stacked rock up to knee high with one opening. At night, shepherd would put all of his sheep inside of the enclosure, and he lay across the opening to go to sleep. Yes, a shepherd literally become a door. Any sheep that want to get out of the enclosure has to go over his body. Those short, stubby legs cannot jump over the shepherd. And he would know about it. When we read verse 8, go back to verse 8. All whoever came before me are thieves and robbers, but my sheep did not hear them. We should not think that Jesus is condemning all the prophets and servants of God before his earthly time. But there have been many false prophets, false teachers, false messiahs, false shepherds, and false doors like the Pharisees of Jesus' day. And they said, we are the doors. Come through us. But true sheep did not hear, and they went for the true shepherd. Jeremiah, please, right after the book of Isaiah in Old Testament. Jeremiah 23, verse 32. Behold, I am against those who prophesy false dreams, says the Lord. Tell them and cause my people to err by their lies and by their recklessness. Yet I did not send them or command them. Therefore, they shall not profit this people at all, says the Lord. There are a lot of TV preachers, a lot of radio preachers nowadays who are not sent by God. They may claim the name of Jesus Christ, but they are not sent by God. True sheep of Jesus wait for the true shepherd. Are you one of these sheep? You cannot be one of his sheep by being baptized, merely baptized, or attending church services, or carrying a Bible, or doing something good once in a blue moon, and give money and a few dollars in the agape box, thinking that, oh yeah, I did this much, so I must be his. No, you're not. You become his sheep, the sheep of Jesus, by committing your life to him. Only through him, the door. Only through his door, no other way. Are you with me on that? True shepherd came to save the sheep, but the false shepherd take advantage of sheep and exploit them. Behind this false shepherd is a thief in verse 10. And a reference to Satan. Sheep wants to steal the sheep from the fold and kill them and destroy them by the command of Satan. That's the Satan's end game. That's Satan's end game. He may come with an enticing temptation. He may come with some dazzling that might even have an element of enjoyment at the beginning. I will be the first one to agree. All the temptation is exciting for a short time, like a chocolate cake. You're looking at it. You like coconut, huh? Well, put the my wife makes this chocolate. She's the best baker. Just looking at it, smelling it, then my blood sugar goes up. And me as a diabetic, and soon I smell it, and then staying around going like this, and take a bite of it. It's good for me, right there. But it's not good for me, for the rest of my body. My blood sugar will go way up. Temptation has an element of enjoyment for short time. I don't know where you are with the relationship with some people. Are you playing game? And thinking that no one would know? Your secret is open scandal in heaven. What's done in the hidden chamber will be shouted from the rooftop. It's better for you to stop now, confess your sin, than go into full-blown exposure and you don't go there. Whatever that is, whether it's alcohol, drug, illicit relationship, stop now. You can do that with the power of the Holy Spirit. Satan is out there to kill, to steal, kill, and destroy. But when we go through the door of Jesus, we receive life and we are saved. Because we receive life from Jesus and He gives it more abundantly. Two applications. Number one, do not resist. Do not resist the leadership of Jesus in your life. He knows our future and what is good for us. He is our good shepherd. Agreed? Second application. God's truth is the best protection against Satan's lie. God's truth is the best protection against Satan's lie. How do we get to know the God's truth? We have an assignment for a year, right? Yep. Join me.